Which record button. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us this far, Lord. Sometimes it don't seem like we've gone very far in you, Lord, but we know we have. We're not like we used to be. Lord, I ask that you anoint everybody in here tonight for this wonderful fellowship, to share what's on their heart, what you put on their heart. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us your wisdom. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. We thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the man-child anointing. Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you're fixing to pour out on your bride. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everybody that's here tonight. Bless them, Lord, in a mighty way, that this would be an awesome time and experience with you, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that all the prayers that we pray tonight will be fulfilled. Because we believe, we have faith, because you've given us that great and bold faith to believe your promises, Lord. We trust you, Lord, to fulfill everything in us. And we trust you implicitly to keep us protected, provide for us. Everything that salvation incorporates, Lord, we just praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be done in your glory tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, David, go ahead.
Several days ago, I shared one on the prayer thing, and just intercessors, UVM thing, about a baby, Adeline, and I think I shared later, too, that she's doing better. I shared around here, and last I heard, she was doing better. There was a good report on her heart, but there's another baby that I'm really burdened for. I see on Facebook, poor thing. That's her name is Evangeline. Just in, the, you know, same kind of type of deal. I don't know what her problem is, but in the hospital a long time and intubated and all these things. Just seeing her face and just that's her life and. She looks like she might be a year or something like that, a year old. I just want to pray for health and healing for these babies. Any others that are suffering like that, or these infirmities from the devil. And I just want to pray. Come against all that. So I do, God, lift up Adeline, who we've been praying for, who's been so sick, Lord, for so many months, Lord. We just command that healing to come forth into her body in the name of Jesus. We just release that to her, Father. I thank you by your stripes. She was healed, Father. We thank you for her believing parents. Thank you that you would just increase their faith to believe for her healing and receive it, Lord. And even if they don't, God, we receive it, Lord. We just receive that, Lord, and call that faith into her, that healing into her body, God, that will just amaze the doctors and create faith in people. Lord, for Evangeline, I just pray you heal this little baby girl, Lord, whatever the problem is, that she's got some stomach issues and things that they can't take care of without doing other surgeries. And Lord, I just pray for this poor little thing, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just bless her with healing, that you reverse things in her body. Just touch her, God. Get rid of all those infirmities, God, that is ailing her and tormenting her, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for a good report on these. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I had a little problem there, Debbie. What was wrong with Angeline? I can't hear you.
I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with her. So I know it mentioned stomach issues. I don't know what first put her in there.
Okay.
Some kind of stomach issues. She's intubated and talks about surgeries and thought they would remove the tube, but because of other complications, they couldn't remove the tube. And this poor thing, she just looks so.
Is this
helpless, obviously. Pardon?
This newborn?
She's not a newborn. This one is not a newborn. She's actually maybe, I don't know, maybe a year old.
Oh, okay.
Adeline is the one who is 7 months old now. And, this one is, okay. The second one is Evangeline. The first one is Adeline. So
yeah.
Both these babies need our prayers and our faith.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Different families, of course, right?
Yeah. Totally different.
All right, Lord, we thank you for complete healing in both of those babies. In Jesus' name, we know you can do that. Thank we know them angels is on the job. Thank you, Lord, for complete healing for Angeline and the other one. Angelina?
Adeline. Angeline, yes.
Amen. Adeline and Angeline. Sweet Adeline. That's a song, an old song. Yeah, man.
Does anybody have any word on the little fella Ryder that had pneumonia? He came up, I think, last week. I wonder if anybody has an update.
I haven't heard anything. Who was that that requested
that? Is that the same one? He passed away.
Yeah, he passed away.
Oh, he did?
Oh,
oh my. Well, he's up there in a better place.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, well.
Okay, anyone else? Hi, Leah. How about a praise report? Testimony. Yeah, Leah. Yeah, go ahead. You got to turn your microphone on. Oh, I thought you wanted to say something. You got to have a microphone to do it. You just can't sit there and talk. You got some problem. Where's your headset? No headset? Okay. Let me see if I can read your lip. No, can't do it. Okay. Maybe put it in the chat. Oh, he's going to come back on. Okay. Hey, Barbara. Hey, Malcolm.
Hey.
All right, anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? You'll try you? Okay. Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord that I just feel like it was okay that I got a new iPhone and it's red. And I felt like, I really felt like I heard him say, well, you may not be able to get a red car, but you can get a red iPhone. So, because I always want a red car. But I want to thank him for, I had a safe trip to the Apple store and a safe trip back home. And there really wasn't much they could do for my old phone. The battery was dead. And he said because it was an older phone, he didn't think it would, you know, do that much for it. So anyhow, I just thank him that I was had the opportunity to be able to get it. So thank you, Lord.
Was that an iPhone you had?
Yeah, and my son's paying for it.
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, thank you, Doug.
All right. All right, anyone else? I want to share a little bit of something here if I might, and I can, so I will. Okay. I was reading this afternoon, and it's out of Andy Murray's School of Obedience. And this is the third chapter, and I thought it was quite interesting and good. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to read this. Is that all right? Okay. He quotes Hebrews 5 and 8. He learned obedience. The secret of true obedience. Let me say at once what I believe it to be. Is the clear and close personal relationship to God. All our attempts after full obedience will be failures until we get access to His abiding fellowship. It is God's holy presence, cautiously abiding with us, that keeps us from disobeying Him. Defective obedience is always the result of a defective life. To rouse and spur on that defective life by arguments and motives has its use, but their chief blessing must be that they make us feel the need of a different life. A life so entirely under the power of God that obedience will be its natural outcome. The defective life, the life of broken and irregular fellowship with God, must be healed and make way for a full and healthy life. Excuse me. Then full obedience will become possible. The secret of a true obedience is the return to close and continual fellowship with God. He learned obedience, Hebrews 5 and 8. And why was this needful? And what is the blessing He brings us? Listen, He learned obedience by the things which He suffered and became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. Suffering is unnatural to us and therefore calls for the surrender of our will. Christ needed suffering that in it He might learn to obey and give up His will to the Father at any cost. He needed to learn obedience, that as our great high priest, He might be made perfect. He learned obedience. He became obedient unto death, that He might become the author of our salvation. He became the author of salvation through obedience, that He might save those who obey Him. As obedience was with Him absolutely necessary to procure, it is with us absolutely necessary to inherit salvation. The very essence of salvation is obedience to God. Christ as the obedient one saves us as His obedient ones, whether in His suffering on earth or in His glory in heaven, whether in Himself or in us. Obedience is what the heart of Christ is set upon. On earth, Christ was a learner in the school of obedience. In heaven, He teaches it to His disciples here on earth. In a world where disobedience reigns unto death, the restoration of obedience is in Christ's hands. As in His own life, so in us. He has undertaken to maintain it. He teaches and works it in us. Let us try and think what and how He teaches. It may be we shall see how little we have given ourselves to be pupils in this school, where alone obedience is to be learned. When we think of our ordinary school, the principal things we ask often are the teacher, the class books, the pupils. Now let us see which each of these is Christ's school of obedience. Now, actually, that's all I want to read, but I wanted to bring out a point here. the secret of true obedience is the clear and close personal relationship to God. It is God's holy presence, okay, consciously abiding with us, that keeps us from disobeying him. What he's saying is, when we get our eyes off the Lord, when we don't have that, look, I'm talking to myself too, because I understand this so much just here in the last little bit. When we get our eyes off the Lord, when we don't have that close personal touch from the Lord every day, you tend to go to the side. You tend to go on these little rabbit trails. But if we keep our eyes on, you know yourself, when you praise God and you get in the Word and you seek the Lord for answers and you do the those things that are to him obedience, how much in his stead that you are. How much in him that you are. Or at least I do. I know that when I don't, excuse me, in the name of Jesus, I command this thing out of my throat right now, in the name of Jesus, you go. But anyway, when we lose that personal relationship with Christ, even for one day, you fall away. And I don't mean fall out of the grace of God, but you lose a little bit. And he wants us to be continually, excuse me, he wants us to have that close personal relationship and to understand that he is with us all the time. And if he's with us all the time, we're ever vigilant to keep ourselves on that righteous road, ever vigilant. And when something comes up, we know immediately that it's wrong, and we can cast it down, or we can cast down those vain thoughts, because we've been in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God, and we understand that. I know y'all know this, but it's always good to reaffirm these things in us and through us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Excuse me. Okay, I just wanted to bring that up and allow that to kind of seek into our spirit, to really seek the Lord every day and be with him every day. I know that sometimes, I can tell you in my own life, and I don't mind doing that, when I wake up in the morning and I'm running late, let's say, and I don't get to do what I normally do, and that's to seek the Lord and pray and read the Word, then I've lost something for the day. I've lost something for the day, because we have a a set kind of a regimen here. And if I don't sacrifice my time in the bed and get up early and do whatever it is God wants me to do, I'm losing out. And I'm not trying to put anybody under the law. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just talking about myself. I lose that little bit with Christ when I don't have that time with him. All right. I'll get off the box now. Anybody relate to that? Okay. All right.
I was going to say, I relate to that, but I think sometimes trying to get that closeness that you don't feel like you got as much as you'd like. I feel that more than anything. Like, I just still wanting to get to that where I know that I heard completely from the Lord all the time. Sometimes it's just not enough. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a verse of scripture. I can't remember how it actually goes, but I can remember the gist of it, and that's that we should shy away from sin to the point of bleeding or something to that effect. Anybody remember that? Denny, you ought to know which where that is, or George or Andrew. That we don't, that, yeah, Barry.
You've not yet resisted sin unto blood.
That's it. That's the one. I knew somebody had had it. Yeah. What's the, will you remember the reference? Okay. It's in the Bible. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That narrowed it down.
Sounds like a Paul from, what said that?
I don't remember. Somebody can Google it. Missy's on the job. Where'd you get that hijab at, Missy? I'm just kidding you, girl. Thought you were Hamas there for a minute. All right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Hebrews 12:4. Ye have okay. not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which reasoneth with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. Here it comes, there's talking about the obedience. It doesn't use the word obedience there, but anyway. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. It is for chastening that you endure. God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father chasteneth not? But if you are without chastening whereof, all have been made partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Amen. Anybody else?
Actually, I should have read the verse before that. Verse 3. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that ye wax not weary, fainting in your souls. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Anyway. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that's a good verse to remember. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to comment on? Boy, it's a lively bunch tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Michael?
Anything? Yes.
Judy.
yeah.
Judy, I just wanted to, you know, you're talking about things that you do. You know, if you don't do them, you don't feel like the day is going to go right, and you know, like if you don't get up and pray and stuff. Well, sometimes I just really think, oh, when I get up at 5:30, I think, oh man, I can't really make it to go to the morning meeting. And I, oh, you know, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, help me, help me, help me. But once I get there, I'm fine. It's, but I really sometimes really struggle, but I can see a difference when, say, like I didn't go or something, it hasn't ties, but then there was that void was missing, you know, when I didn't go. So
yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Anybody got anybody remember where we were in the book? Oh, by the way, Joe Britt sent me a link to the, what's the name of them? Shoot.
Kahlua.
The how much?
Kahlua. How you pronounce it in
English. Yeah, it don't sound right. That's probably what it is, but that don't sound like the way I pronounce it. That don't mean I'm right. That's what I do. Oh, let's see here, Joe. Karoo sheep, K-A-R-O-O sheep, that you only get in South Africa. And these sheep, I went and I listened to it, read it, Joe. The Karoo sheep, K-A-R-O-O, are sheep. It's not a special kind. It's the place where they graze that makes them special. And where they graze makes their meat tender and real good tasting. And it's known throughout South Africa as one of the prime sheep meats. And if you've got a Karoo sheep, you've got something special, and people demand that type of sheep. These sheep go out and graze this, they had three different types of grass or vegetation that they eat, and the meat itself, am I reading in the book? Not right now, I'm just talking. But anyway, Leon, okay, the Karoo sheep graze on this special kind of, and it's only in a certain area in South Africa, and other people were used to, before they had any regulations on it, would put Karoo sheep meat on their meat, whether it was or not, and people would find out real quick. They know the taste of the sheep because of these particular plants that they have. I think there's three different plants. Anyway. Apparently, they constitute a good price for them. What's interesting, it doesn't make any difference what kind of sheep it is out there. They all will taste good if they eat that grass, eat that particular vegetation that they eat. Pretty interesting. Just type in K-A-R-O-O sheep, and it'll bring up South African. Talking about that type of sheep, since we're talking about sheep.
This is kind of off topic, but my niece a couple years ago bought some grass-fed beef because she thought she was going to get more healthier fed beef rather than whatever else they feed, you know, beef today. And when we get ours, the guy that that raises the beef that we get slaughtered by quarter or half cows. He has a particular way he raises them. He makes sure they eat proper and great, and they get the good grains and all that stuff. And so, because he says I eat them too, so I make sure they get good. So when we ate that grass-fed beef, it had a different taste to it. It just, we had a hard time eating it, really. It just didn't taste like regular beef. It had a stranger taste to it that didn't taste good, you know, because it wasn't comfortable for one. But it definitely changed the taste of the meat.
Yeah, because most cattle farmers, beef cattle farmers, they'll graze them and raise them on that grass you're talking about, but they'll also mix in a grain with it. And then when they get ready to, right before they slaughter them, they will grain feed them to make that great taste that you get most of the time in the stores. But when you just take them right off the pasture, they don't taste that well. And you're right. But they do that for a reason. That's they grain feed them to take that, put that good taste in them and make them a little more. Actually makes them a little more tender as well. Anyway, just something I throw out there.
So these sheep are a certain kind of grass or whatever they're eating, and it makes a certain flavor to their meat.
Yeah, it's apparently Joe wanted a sweeter meat or something like that, sweeter and more tender, lots more tender. They know immediately when they bite into that particular type of sheep that it's a Karoo sheep. That's how much difference it is in the regular sheep and pastured on whatever. And apparently those particular plants only grow right there in South Africa. I guess, I don't know. All right, anybody else on Karoo sheep? Hey Joe, send me over some. When we come to get you, you have some boxed up, buddy. We'll bring it on back.
Making me so hungry.
Yeah, I know. I like sheep meat. I remember when I was a kid, we used to get lamb chops all the time, rack of ribs and all of that. But you don't see it much in the grocery stores anymore like you used to.
They don't eat grass, right? For the most part.
Let's see, Leon. Let me see here. I can hear you all, but I can't get my computer to unmute. A message comes up saying that I have joined by phone and can't get that to shut off. I can hear you, and that's what's important. Are you reading in the book? No, not yet. Not yet. Oh, well, that sounds like a glitch or something, don't it? Hey, let me ask you this. I know when I checked in today a while ago that I had something different up there, like it was a new update or something. Is that the same thing that happened to you when you tried to come on? Which is the same thing, same old stuff.
See if you can unmute him if he can talk.
Can you see? Say something. Okay, didn't hear you. Or do you have a microphone on your computer? Yeah, okay. No, I'm not sure what's going on. Did you, when that thing comes up, there's a thing on there, there's a blue bar on there. It says use computer sound and microphone. You hit that, didn't you? Okay. You tried going out and coming back in, didn't you? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, hey, Lenny. Good to have you on, brother.
It's good to be here.
Amen. Okay, does anybody know where we are?
Yeah.
The what? Go ahead, Leonid. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying nothing.
Oh, okay. Somebody will.
Page 90.
Really? Wait a minute. I ain't got a 90. Where'd my 90 go?
I opened mine up and I was on page 65.
Well, I thought it was on chapter 7. I don't know.
I don't think we got out of 6 yet.
It's chapter 6.
We're still on
Page 90.
Everybody's got a different page, Denny.
I thought you did say 7. We were going to start 7.
Did we finish 7? No.
No.
6, I mean 6.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought we did. Okay. What page are we on in chapter 6, Barry? You know where we are in chapter 6? What I had down for the last time was where it says there are relatively few diligent disciples who forsake all to follow the master. And that is 3.5 pages from the end in my PDF file.
Yeah, that's just before the example of his cross, the 7 different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we go through those? We didn't go through those, did we?
I
don't think we did. Dave Nelson says he's going to log out, log back in, and see what the login process looks like again, Leon.
I think
there
it was page 67.
Well, what page?
67.
That's 66 on mine. So. Oh my, thank you, Lord. Okay. Jesus never made light of the cost involved in following him. Everybody there? In fact, he made it painfully clear that it was a rugged life of rigid self-denial. It entailed a whole new set of attitudes. It was not the natural, normal way a person would ordinarily live, and this is what made the price so prohibitive to most people. Hang on. In brief, 7 fresh attitudes have to be acquired. They are the equivalent of progressive forward movements onto new ground with God. If one follows them, he will discover fresh pasturage, new abundant life, and increased health, wholesomeness, and holiness in his walk with God. Nothing will please him more, and most certainly no other activity on our part will or can result in as great a benefit to other lives around us. Okay, number 1. Instead of loving myself most, I am willing to love Christ best and others more than myself. Now, love in a scriptural sense is not a soft, sentimental emotion. It is a deliberate act of my will. It means that I'm willing to lay down my life, lay myself out, pour myself out on behalf of another. And this is precisely what God did for us in Christ. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us in 1 John 3:16. The moment I deliberately do something definite, either for God or others, that costs me something, I am expressing love. Love is selflessness or self-sacrifice, in contradistinction to selfishness. Most of us know little of living like this or being led in this right way. But once a person discovers the delight of doing something for others, he has started through the gate being led into one of God's green pastures. Amen. Anybody want to comment on that number one? Pretty self-explanatory, I think. Instead of being one of the, number two, instead of being one of the crowd, I am willing to be singled out and set apart from the game. Amen. Most of us, like sheep, are pretty gregarious. We want to belong. We don't want to be different in a deep, distinctive way, though we may wish to be different in minor details that appeal to our selfish egos. But Christ pointed out that only a few would find his way acceptable. And to be marked as one of his would mean a certain amount of criticism and sarcasm from a cynical society. Many of us don't want this. Just as he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, so we may be. Instead of adding to the sorrows and sadness of society, we may be called on to help bear some of the burdens of others, to enter into the suffering of others. Are we ready to do this? Anybody want to comment on that? Yeah, Missy.
That part back on page 66 at the bottom, most of us like sheep are pretty gregarious. We want to belong. We don't want to be different in a deep, distinctive way, though we may wish to be different in minor details that appeal to our selfish egos. What came to me is sometimes the enemy would want us to think that we don't fit in a negative way, because we are different. He tries, you're so much different than everybody. And I don't fit in. You don't fit in. The enemy tries to feed you that line. You don't fit in. But when you look at in a different way, then, okay, we're all members of the body of Christ and we are different, because when you look at the body, each member is different, you know? But also if you look at a puzzle, let's say it's a picture of the Lord, which, you know, we don't really know really what the Lord looks like. But if you look at a picture, let's say, that depicts the body of Christ, you know, let's put it that way. Each of us is a piece of that puzzle. And for us to fit into that puzzle, we can't be like anybody else, because each piece is different. Each piece is distinctively different. So we do fit in, but we have that characteristic of being the minor. It says may wish to be different. Whoops, but we may wish to be different in minor details, and you know. It's like an oxymoron. It's just a thing that the enemy gets you in.
I think what you're saying is you're talking about
don't want to be different, but in minor details, we want to be different. And it's like, because it's that's the ego part, you know, but we only want to be different in that we don't want to, that ego wants all the glory rather than all the glory being to the Lord. Yeah. That's just what came to me, you know. The enemy would say, you don't fit in, you know. Well, no, you do fit in. And the fact that you're different is an awesome thing, because God didn't make us all the same.
Praise God.
Amen. Anyway,
that's good. That's good. We want to, when we start out, you're right, when we start out, We don't want to be different than everybody. We want to be mature, don't we? But we're not. And so we think that we're not going along quickly enough for God. But God said, you're right on time, boy. You're right on time.
And another thing that came to me is comparing ourselves with others.
Yeah.
You can't, because we're different. We're different.
We're all in a different place.
Special. We are, but every one of us is so special. Every one of us. I'm special, but I'm not special because you're special too. Each and every one of us is special. You know, you can't think that you're special in thinking that you're better than someone else. Nope. You're special because God made you the way you are. Psalm 139 is a perfect example, you know. But anyway.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, maybe to carry Missy's analogy just a little bit further, that once we've conformed into being part of the body of Christ, into that puzzle, that we would no longer fit in a puzzle of worldly people. We wouldn't be the right texture, the right shape, the right anything. We've left that option behind. A puzzle piece only fits in one puzzle. And there's two groups out there. And so once we've become part of the body of Christ, we no longer fit in the body of the worldly people. At least that's the way it's supposed to work.
Amen. That's exactly how it works. Yeah. And just like Missy said, even in that puzzle, we're all different. But we all fit. We're all part of the body. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Boy, I see some of that. You have all these different Christian groups that want to be called Christian, but they all want to have a little uniqueness about them that makes them different from the others.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's the apostate part of the Christianity that wants to be different. I have this, and therefore I am better than y'all. If you come over here with us, we'll teach you something type of deal. And, of course, they don't all have the whole thing. We don't, none of us have the whole thing, you know. We have to be a part of that whole puzzle, as Missy was talking about. If we have a circle puzzle, if you got a piece missing out of it, it ain't a circle. So, yeah, it's not a full circle, but it takes every one of us to make that whole puzzle. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, Denny, Debbie.
Yeah, I just want to say that, outside of Christ, we can't understand that being different and yet we're still special and fitting in. And because I remember growing up, you talked about the apostate church, the way they look at that, because my mom didn't allow us to, we couldn't do square dancing in school and
oh man,
what else it was. And so I just felt so strange and out of place and unaccepted. And I didn't feel like I knew what it meant. I knew their meaning. You're peculiar people, you know. I knew what it meant, but I wasn't in with the Lord good enough to understand fully and appreciate that, and that's not what he means anyway. So it affected a lot of things in my life. And but in the Lord, it's when in the Lord together with others, we can understand that. And we appreciate it. We appreciated that, Missy. It was good.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. All right, that's good. Good stuff. Anybody else? Okay, let's go on here. Number three. Instead of insisting on my rights, I am willing to forego them in favor of others. Ooh, come on now. That old flesh gets in the way of that one, don't it, sometimes? Basically, this is what the master meant by denying oneself. It's not easy, nor normal, nor natural to do this. Even in the loving atmosphere of the home, self-assertion is pretty evident, and the powerful exercise of individual rights is always apparent. This is number three is good. Let's just take a look at this for a while. But the person who is willing to pocket his pride, to take a back seat, to play second fiddle without a feeling of being abused or put upon, has gone a long way onto new ground with God. There is a tremendous emancipation from self in this attitude. One is set free from the shackles of personal pride. It's pretty hard to hurt such a person. He who has no sense of self-importance cannot be offended or deflated. Somehow, such people enjoy a wholesome outlook of carefree abandon that makes their Christian lives contagious with contentment and gaiety. Amen. That's where self is the hardest place to die to, is your pride. Well, he ain't got no reason to talk to me like that. Bless God, I'll tell you what we're going to do. You know, you just turn the cheek. Forget about it. It just like he's talking about here. Instead of insisting on my rights, I am willing to forego them in favor of others. You know what happens when we do that? Peace. There's peace. You have peace in your heart. It might be a little bit, that fire might burn for a little bit, but if you turn the other cheek, and let them just go on and do what they got to do and say. And forget about it. It's just the devil in him. And pray for him. Eventually, it won't even burn. You'll just be humble. I'll be glad when I get there, too. Bless God. I will.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, we're getting there, Dave. We're clawing and scratching the whole way, but we're getting there.
Joe knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
I don't know why, but a lot of times when I think about, you know, turning the other cheek and stuff, I think about the John Wayne movies we grew up with. And how many of them there would have been made if you'd have turned the other cheek? It would have been zero. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood, too.
Yeah, all them guys, Superman, Batman, I.O. Silver, away. Yeah, that number three is one that if we overcome that, you can get in the rest. Yeah, Joe.
Now, I was reminded by what you said about the being content to be like, I think you said like second place or playing second fiddle. You're not always in the front there. You're kind of in the back seat, so to speak, in the background. And it just brought me to, you know, brought to my mind, you know, as understanding the role of being an intercessor. You know, that's definitely a good example of that, of what I thought. I mean, you know, when everyone thinks of like the evangelist, the preacher, they're like, oh, that's where it's at. You know, it's, or, I mean, in the world's eyes, you know, it kind of dawned on me. I thought, well, yeah, they look at these great preachers, these great evangelists that are in the spotlight, that are putting themselves out there, you know, to take the criticism or whatever, you know, they're out there. You know, they're not being in the background, but I mean, what people don't realize as well is they're out there, but the power that they have, the influence comes from a great intercessor who's behind the scenes, who's playing second fiddle, so to speak, or who's sitting in the back of the bus or whatever, praying, you know, interceding on their behalf, you know, and that's a great example. I think for me, I mean, it was such a, you know, before I kind of came in that role, I mean, it was the enemy was really, and he still does at times, you know, I feel my flesh saying, oh, you need to put yourself out there more. You know, you need to be like, you need to be out front more, you know, and you need to be the center of attention or whatever, you know, try to get you out of that role that God has put me in. You know, and I mean, it kind of fits my personality too over the years of just kind of, you know, being content, you know, and I finally realized that, okay, yeah, be content, you know, and be at peace when you're in the background. You're not having everybody's eyes on you. You know, the focus isn't on you. You're just in the background and you're doing what God wants you to. So that's a good, I don't know, that kind of came to mind for me. That was a good example of just kind of like being content to be, you know, kind of backstage, so to speak. If that makes sense, because I'm thinking, I guess it's a worldly attitude, or I mean, you know, I mean, as you think about it, you know, you're just like, oh, I want to be that person who everyone sees out there. I want to be that great evangelist, you know. I want to be that great preacher or whatever. But they don't, you know. I guess in a sense, God is saying, well, no, you know, just I mean, what about that humble position of an intercessor in the background who doesn't really get noticed, you know, in the world's eyes, who not many people think about, but is a very powerful, you know, role to usher in a great revival, you know, like Father Nash, or, you know, Brother Nash with Charles Finney. You know, they said his, basically after, you know, Brother Nash died, Charles Finney's ministry died. You know, it just sputtered out and died. And I think they said he went back to pastoring a church, if I remember. But I mean, his ministry just died because the power was gone. You know, that influence, that, you know, that prayer warrior, you know, passed on. So yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, George.
Just thinking about how, all the things that we could try to maneuver and do in the flesh to gain influence or to steer the ship when we don't really have all the pieces, we don't see everything. But when we show restraint, how the power of God through that humility, he gives grace to the humble, how he adds grace to what we're doing, like say with our children, or if we're leading a group, how somebody makes a mistake in front of us, looks to us to see if they're going to suffer some backlash, and we restrain our flesh and we calmly allow them to get back in line and to judge themselves and not us judge them, how that is a such a more of a stronger witness to them, and more than if we would have whipped out 20 scriptures and tried to, you know, show them the error of their ways and all these different things. It's kind of like just by living love, by giving people grace and giving them an opportunity to explain themselves and ask for help or ask for guidance or even just see us patiently waiting for things to come around before we throw whatever we've got in the mix, they're much more willing to listen when we've built time with them to be humble and patient and believe the best about them instead of doing what the world does. And, you know, people are beat up a lot of times and they're always expecting the stick. And when we give them grace and give them room to kind of wiggle out and not get called on the carpet for every single thing, that we find that they'll listen to us and bond to us to be led into some deeper things and maybe get out of the worldly, the sin, the self-condemnation, you know, the basically what I'm trying to say is the seed that we're planting in lives around us, it's not going to be received as well if we try to drive it home, you know, with our flesh. But if we let the Spirit of God come alongside of us and help us plant it, that it's going to plow that heart a lot deeper, and it's going to grab root and grow. And, you know, it's working with God. It's being yoked with Jesus and carrying his burden instead of thinking, me and my flesh, I've got to figure all this out, and I've got to build this thing. So I tell you what, having six children will teach you that you don't have control of very much.
Yeah, I can imagine. There is something else to the opposite side of this that I was sitting here thinking about. I've had people that get mad at me for talking about something on the conference call. And in my mind, I didn't even have them in my mind at all. Nothing about them or anybody as far as that goes. I make points. I try to make points to help people. And they get offended by it. And that's a humble pride or spirit of rejection. And I'm not talking about anybody on this call right now, so don't get offended. But they get offended, and they'll write me a big, long email about it. It's the devil that does that. What we ought to do is take things that are said to the Lord and find out from him, you know, what does this mean? What does this mean? He's talking about this. What does that mean? Instead of trying to throw blame at people or whatever, I don't know what the deal is, other than not dealing with self. It's what it is. It's not dealing with self. I think I left out, but yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I say one of the things I find, it doesn't always happen, but it does happen here, and it's definitely God-driven. If something comes up on a conference call, and like if you're saying something or somebody else brings something out, it's what I needed to hear, because that was driven by God to have that said. It was God's spirit coming through that person, and they may not even know it. And what was being said was, even though it wasn't directed at you intentionally, God was speaking to you through that person, and that's why you heard it. That's why it really it bit. It had ground, because that's what you needed to hear from God at the time. And that's how he's speaking through others. Mm-hmm. So it's not the person speaking that's just the prophet. That's the person that's speaking for God. He has no ability to control what comes out. It's just what he's going to be a perfect prophet. He's going to let it come out of his mouth. And anybody can do that. Because God can work through anybody like that. And when he does that, everybody has to understand when that happens, well, hey, listen, if it's coming and speaking to me that way, really good, and I hear it loud and clear, that was from God. Even though the person's being used to speak it through his mouth, I'm hearing the word from God on this. That's why it spoke so well to me. So we can't get offended by the prophet or the prophecy. We got to receive it from God and just take it for where it's taken us, you know.
All right. Go ahead, Tim.
I was thinking about the disciples, you know, and when they were arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest, you know, and they've been hanging around out with Jesus. And they were pretty full of themselves, and they had seen a lot, knew a lot, and they thought that they were really something special. And then he calls the little child and says, you got to be like this, you know, to be in the kingdom. And what a humbling thing that must have been for them. But what a great example for us, you know, to just, you know, to really get rid of everything that we think we know and that we think we have, and to just be a real listener and absorb what the teacher has to give us.
Yeah, that if something is said and it makes no difference by who on this conference call, and you get irritated about it, guess what? If that target was right on your back, and you need to deal with it. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, the last few days I've been slowly reading through The Happiest People on Earth. I'm sure you've heard of it. Story of Demos. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Shikarian. He's the guy that's basically talking about the how the Russians came down, Russian patriarchs came down into Armenia, and would share the, you know, they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the folks in Armenia were generally resistant, you know, and anyway, that whole story. But one thing I've noticed and kind of reminded me of, after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, people would say, well, about when I would just talk to them, you know, I tend to talk a lot too much, but anyway, they would say, well, it's like the Lord is speaking to me, you know, it's like I was prophesying or word of knowledge, but I didn't know, I had no idea that was going on. I was just talking. But I think that's one thing, like we've been talking about is, and also what this guy that started the full gospel businessmen's fellowship international is this, just when you're in the spirit, then the Lord just talks to you through other people, or he uses you to talk to other people, and it's pretty amazing. So it's just really, really wonderful. I mean, I don't know. I'm just getting excited about all these things.
Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to say something else, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this isn't the right time, but I had a dream last night that I don't remember hardly any details, except that all of us were going through individually. We're not corporately. I mean, we were all going through this at the same time, but it was more on an individual basis that we were going through this kind of a test. That was really important, that, and the test was whether or not we could hear God's voice in whatever the situation that that God was working with us. But it was just interesting. All of us were going through this same process of, could we hear God's voice or not? And what was funny about that was I started reading, continuing on where I was reading in this The Happiest People on Earth book, the biography of this guy's life. And that's exactly what he went through, was he was hearing this voice. He had started, was planning, doing all the planning for a meeting in Fresno, California. And he felt like he and his wife, the Lord had told them separately that that's what he wanted them to do. But he was starting to hear this voice that God didn't want him to do that, that there was some pride going on in his life, and he was to close down the meetings and go back to California. I mean, go back to, not California, but back to L.A., where they were based. And so finally, after a day or two of this, he suddenly came to the realization that this was not God's voice. So it was just interesting after that dream to have that, to hit that part of this story, you know. I thought that's, seems a little bit more than coincidence there. So
I believe God has got us in a test now. It's a test to see if you're going to be in the bride or not. And that's a good point, Malcolm. It's a test to see if we could hear God's voice. That's a good test. Do you hear God's voice? Okay, anybody else before we continue on here? Anybody know what I'm talking about when you hear God's voice? Okay. Joe does. Ain't nobody else does. Okay. I just had to ask. I can't even get a nod out of some of y'all. Go ahead, Tim.
Seems you got to shut up, Tim, so you can hear God sometimes, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. I understand. You know, that's a good point, you know. That's a good point. Y'all remember here a few weeks ago that I had asked Eve about hearing from God. And I had at times before waited, you know, what I thought was a long time, probably 3 minutes. So I kept waiting on God to talk to me. He can talk to me. When in fact, the best thing to do is just to sit there and wait and imagine in your mind, just like she told me, imagine in your mind that Jesus is right there and he's talking to you, and just wait because he's going to talk to you. That's the way he does. Yeah, Missy.
Can I read just a little paragraph from yesterday's devotional of Andrew Murray? The very sure. last paragraph talks about this.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
He says, before you pray, bow quietly before God. Remember and realize who he is, how near he is, how certainly he can and it will help. When praying, let there be intervals of silence, reverent stillness of soul, in which you yield yourself to God in case he may have other things he wishes to teach or to work in you. Learn to say of every want and every lack of grace, I have waited too little upon God, and he would have given me this due season all I need. All right. There was part of it, but there was something else. Let me see here a second. That was today.
Let me, you go ahead and look for it, and let me go ahead and finish this number three out, and then if you find it, let me know, and we can read it. Okay. I'm just going to read this over. Basically, this is what the master meant by denying oneself. It's not easy, nor normal, nor natural to do this. Even in the loving atmosphere of the home, self-assertion is pretty evident, and the powerful exercise of individual rights is always apparent. But the person who is willing to pocket his pride, to take a back seat, to play second fiddle without a feeling of being abused or put upon, has gone a long way onto new ground with God. There is a tremendous emancipation from self in this attitude. Did you get that? One is set free from the shackles of personal pride. It's pretty hard to hurt such a person. He who has no sense of self-importance cannot be offended or deflated. Somehow such people enjoy a wholesome outlook of carefree abandon that makes their Christian lives contagious with contentment and gaiety. In other words, you're in God's rest. You don't have to worry about what somebody says about you or anything like that. Oh, that's good, man. That's good stuff. Anybody got some more comments on this particular part of it? This is an important part here. If we can overcome this part right here, that's 90% of it. All right, number four. Instead of being boss, I am willing to be at the bottom of the heap. Or to use sheep terminology, instead of being top ram, I'm willing to be a tail ender. When the desire for self-assertion, self-aggrandizement, self-pleasing gives way to the desire for simply pleasing God and others, and others, and others, much of the fret and strain is drained away from daily living. A hallmark of the serene soul is the absence of drive, at least drive for self-determination. The person who is prepared to put his personal life and personal affairs in the master's hands for his management and direction has found the place of rest in fresh fields every day. These are the ones who find time and energy to please others. Boy, that's so hard for us to do at times. You know what I'm saying? We like our own, we're in our own little old world sometimes, and we don't really think about other people's comfort so much as, well, I hope they're as comfortable as I am, bless God, you know, stuff like that, instead of seeing to the needs of others. I know I'm guilty of that a lot of times. God's working on me. Y'all pray for me. But we all need to get to that place, you know. I'm learning a lot here. I don't know about y'all, but I am. I'm going to go back over this when I get through and check them out and put them up on little things up on the wall so I could be reminded, you know. Like Leon does. Leon does that a lot. He put one up on before the sinker about bitterness and anger and all of that stuff. It's really good. I always look at it. Number five, instead of finding fault with life and always asking why, I am willing to accept every circumstance of life in an attitude of gratitude. Man, all we got to do is watch somebody watch the news and they get upset. You know, Guilty, you know. Look at them crazy people. Them people ain't got a lick of sense. You know, they got stupid all over them, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And all it is they do. They've got the stupid demon on them, but we need to be praying for them. Lord, put your hand on them. Get a hold of them. Human beings, being what they are, somehow feel entitled to question the reasons for everything that happens to them. In many instances, life itself becomes a continuous criticism and dissection of one's circumstances and acquaintances. We look for someone or something on which to pin the blame for our misfortune. Boy, how many times have we done that? We are often quick to forget our blessings, slow to forget our misfortunes. Well, ain't that the truth? But if one really believes his affairs are in God's hands, every event, no matter whether joyous or tragic, will be taken as part of God's plan. And to know beyond doubt that he does all for our welfare is to be led into a wide area of peace and quietness and strength for every situation. How many of you want to have that peace and quiet? Peace in your heart all the time. Boy, I do. I don't want to have to worry about what Tim says to me or Joe says to me or Andrew says to me or Dave says to me or what Missy does or anything else, you know. I'm just saying, Missy, don't get offended. Good, great. Yep. You remember what we just read. But anyway, just when we get to that place, well, that's going to be an awesome time. And ain't nothing going to bother you then. You'll be in that rest. If you ever, David brings this out in one of his studies. I don't remember which one it was. About, you ever seen a man that's been henpecked? His wife is just, ah, no, 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 yeah, no, 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 no. He walked behind her and he just kind of shuffled along. He takes it all and he's real humble. That's the way we ought to be. Or it could be the other way around. Now, I'm not going to look. I see it. Smoke coming out your eye. It could be the other way around. It could be a man, but, you know, that's done a woman the same way. It's beat on her verbally, and she's humble, and she just shuts her head. Get me a glass of water. Get me this, woman, you know, or whatever. And they're just humble, and they just go ahead and take it. They have been broken, and they're ready for the kingdom. And that's what God wants us. He wants us to be the same way. He wants us broken. He wants me broken. Amen. Anybody want to comment on that? Okay. But if one really believes his affairs are in God's hands, every event, no matter whether joyous or tragic, will be taken as part of God's plan. And to know beyond doubt that he does all for our welfare is to be led into a wide area of peace and quietness and strength for every situation. Number six, instead of exercising and asserting my will, I am willing to learn to cooperate with his wishes and comply with his will. And it must be noted that all the steps outlined here involve the will. The saints from earliest times have repeatedly pointed out that 9/10 of religion, of Christianity, of becoming a true follower, a dedicated disciple, lies in the will. When men or women allow their will to be crossed out, canceling the great I in their decisions, then indeed the cross has been applied to their lives. This is the meaning of taking up one's cross daily, to go to one's own death. No longer my will in the matter, but his will be done. Amen. Lord showed me it was a vision, I think, back about 8 years ago, almost 9 years ago. We had a young man here that very self absorbing. And he showed me a vision of him and Jesus standing up on a cliff, and Jesus was kicking I, the letter I, off the cliff. I, off the cliff. He'd kick him off the cliff. Every time this kid opened his mouth up, he'd kick it off, kick the I off the cliff. And what he was telling him, his I's got to go. It needs to be kicked off into the caverns of hell. I guess. And that's the way it is with us. I's got to go. I said, old flesh. Okay, anybody else want to say anything on number five? Did I read any of six? I thought I did. Did I read the whole thing? Okay. I knew that. I was just checking to see if y'all knew. Number seven. The what, Dave?
I was trying to figure out what you said, but yeah, we're on seven.
Okay.
Yep.
Instead of choosing my own way, I am willing to choose to follow in Christ's way, simply to do what he asked me to do. This basically is simple, straightforward obedience. It means I just do what he asked me to do. I go where he invites me to go. I say what he instructs me to say. I act and react in the manner he maintains is in my own best interest as well as for his reputation if I'm his followers. Most of us possess a formidable amount of factual information on what the master expects of us. Precious few have either the will, intention, or determination to act on it and comply with his instructions. But the person who decides to do what God asks him has moved onto fresh ground, which will do both him and others a world of good. Besides, it will please the good shepherd to no end. God wants us all to move on with him. He wants us to walk with him. He wants it not only for our welfare, but for the benefit of others as well as his own dear reputation. Perhaps there are those who think he expects too much of us. Maybe they feel the demands are too drastic. Some may even consider his call impossible to carry out. It would be if we had to depend on self-determination or self-discipline to succeed. But if we are in earnest about wanting to do his will and to be led, he makes this possible by his own gracious spirit, who is given to those who obey, Acts 5 and 32. For it is he who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, Philippians 2 and 13. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you have obtained perfection? I'm not raising my hand, don't get me wrong. Oh, you have? By faith we all have, y'all. By faith we all have, Lord our God. But we have these trials and these tribulations that come upon us. And if we will do what we talked about earlier about having that personal, close relationship with the Lord. I got a saying over here. Let's see if I can find it right here. Yeah. Listen to this. Y'all check this out. This will help you. It helps me. If a man is conscious of being righteous, he behaves righteously. And so I cannot live the life of a true believer unless I am filled with the consciousness of this every day. I thank God that I am dead in Christ. Christ died unto sin, and since I am united with Christ and Christ lives in me, I am dead to sin. Right? Here's another one, John 7 and 18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. I look at that every morning and I say, okay, if a man is conscious of being righteous, he behaves righteously. In other words, if you're conscious of Jesus living in you, does everybody know that Jesus lives in you? If you're conscious of Jesus living in you, yeah, and he know that Jesus lives in you, then if you're conscious of it all the time, then you're going to be trying to act like him. And the Holy Spirit's going to be guiding you in that respect all the time. And that's why every morning I raise my hands, just like a funnel. You see that funnel? Lord, fill me up with your Holy Spirit so I can have that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit this day as you lead me throughout the day. I'm not saying that I am. Don't get me wrong. I'm far from it. Y'all know me. But I try. I'm doing what God wants me to do, and that's listening to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Anybody else got some good comments? Or bad ones, either one. We'll correct you. Go ahead, Miss.
Well, when you were saying about being perfect, this is what came to me, Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained or or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye are otherwise minded, this also God will reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained, by the same rule let us walk.
Okay, Joe, go ahead. You gone? All right, brother. Good night. Have a good day tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Keep a smile on your face and a skip in your walk, brother.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Sue.
I was just reading this earlier today, and it kind of fits with what was going on. Psalm 119, starting at 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. That's one way that we can gain him and walk in him. I just thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, we're talking about, you know, being of Christ, you know, letting him operate out of us. And that just kind of, you know, I was reading that earlier. It just kind of fit.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Sue.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyone else? For by one, Bobby says, Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. You got to keep these things in our mind again, all the time. Keep them before us. I think in the days ahead, when the anointing of the man child and the bride, it's going to help a lot of folks. It's going to help a lot of folks. All right. Anybody else want to talk about something? Or y'all want to get into the next chapter? That's pretty good stuff there. I like the way he goes into the sheep herding first, and then he applies it in a parallel to us, you know, as people of God. And it's really good. It's got a real good insight into this. Hey, Leah. Hey, Malcolm, before I forget it, would you type that dream up and send it to me? It's a pretty good dream there, bud.
There's I don't, the problem is I don't remember any details. I remember it was almost like it was a recurring thing that was happening over and over and over, and it was an ongoing process of the dream, but I don't remember any details other than it was like, maybe everybody in UBM or all of God's people, or I don't know who, that was a feeling I got in the dream. The people that were seeking the Lord. But I don't have details.
Well, you've got enough. Let's pray, and God will give them back to you. That's what.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. If there's anything important that you haven't remembered, that it comes back to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you give Malcolm any more of that dream that's important. But if that's the only part that's important, Lord, let him get the right down to the right letters, Lord, that you would have him put down and send it in, because that's for the UBM. That's for the whole body. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Lord, thank you. I asked for that too. I think of course, it was the kind of thing you wake up from and think about, you know, during the day. I initially got busy with the day, and it just started coming back. Oh yeah, I dreamed that. And then when I was reading in this book, it was like this, you know how you get confirmations that when I was reading in this book, and that was the kind of the topic that this guy was, the issue he was grappling with was, is this God's voice or not? So that, to me, it really, I thought, well, this is, because, you know, with God, I don't think there's any coincidence. So
I don't either. I mean,
it's the kind of thing that can make your hair stand up, you know?
Yeah.
Am I really reading this? Is this, why did I have that dream just, you know, a few hours ago?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Well, I'll try to, I don't know what to type up. I'll maybe just kind of recollect a little, I don't know, something. So.
Well, here's what I wrote down from what you just told me. I said, Malcolm had a dream, important dream. It was a test to see if we could hear God's voice.
Yes. Yes, and it was important. It wasn't like a do or die, but it was really, it was the test of the time, and all of us were going through it at the same time, but we were being put through things individually, so it wasn't like everybody had to hear the same voice about the same situation, because each person had their own little scenario going on. So that was really clear.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a test of obedience. Because God's already told us what to do. It's just a matter of obedience. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying. That's
yeah.
What the first thing came to me.
Yeah, it's important to. I've been praying for that too. I want to be hearing God's voice, and I want to be discerning between what isn't His voice, what's either me or somebody else's idea, or even, you know, the dark side. I want to be able to make a distinction. So, you know, it's basically discerning of spirits, I think.
Okay. Yeah, just whatever you can remember would be good to send it in.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if it's just a little bit, that's no big deal. But it's
all
a
right.
Big deal. All right.
By
Thank
the way,
you,
can I share a little something here?
Yeah.
I've been... it turns out we're a little bit short on our firewood for the year, and that's what we use primarily for heat. And it's a big deal here, because if you run out of wood, I don't know if any of you have tried to wade through the snow and cut down a tree and bring your wood in that way, but it's a far cry from doing it in the when there's no snow on the ground. So, you know, none of us want to be caught in that situation, and we're just a little short. So I've been up in the woods quite a ways out, and it's the kind of situation where there's not a soul around, at least that I know of. And it's like God is out there. I don't know how to describe it. It's like God's meeting me. I can feel His presence. It's just phenomenal. And just by myself, you know, and it's just it can be a very dangerous job. I mean, you're strategizing, trying to figure out how to fell a tree, and some trees get hung up in other trees, and there are a lot of things that can go wrong, but it's like I don't have a care in the world out there. The Lord's just kind of with me, and, you know, most people would say, well, you should have somebody with you in case, you know, and they don't even have a cell site.
Hey, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Isn't that what your wife is for?
What's that?
To go out there and help you bring in that wood.
Well, oh.
Skin that
well,
deer.
Working, she's working too.
Clean them squirrels.
Oh, my. I'm just now you're reminding me of the song about the gopher guts. Oh, my gosh. Goodness.
A gopher guts. Oh,
well,
wow.
Cleaning out the squirrels. Oh,
yeah, really, if you pray before you go, you should be fine.
Yeah. No, it's a, I don't know. I of course, listening to David's, because I use these little earbuds and listen while I'm working through all the noise of the chainsaw and everything. You know, you put your little earbuds in the side, your helmet arrangement, and anyway, David's obviously on cloud nine in the last Sunday night recording, just on cloud nine, because of all, you know, because over Halloween we'd prayed for, you know, all against what was, you know, the dark side had been praying and doing sacrifices and whatnot, and so anyway,
we prayed rain that God would rain out for Halloween in all the big cities. And he did.
I'm sorry, but I pray that there'd be rain elsewhere, but not here, because once there's any precipitation here, I won't be able to get wood anymore.
So, is it that I'm cold really, there already?
Well, any precipitation would be snow up where I'm working. It's a lot higher elevation. Yeah. Okay. So if there's snow on the ground, then I have no traction. I can't pull logs around, and I can't safely pull a trailer. Yeah. So, anyway, I was glad the Lord had mercy on me while the rest of you were playing and praying against or getting wood here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, praise God, Lord. We just thank you that He's going to be able to go up there and get all he needs for the rest of the winter. I don't know how much that's going to be, but Lord, whatever it is, let it be enough. And if it ain't enough, it will be enough.
Amen. See, you can multiply it.
Yes, amen. Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Not a problem. Need to stop worrying about stuff like this.
Amen.
Okay, I'll bow out. Blessings, everybody.
Okay, buddy. All right, anybody else? We'll chop wood. Anybody else want to share anything? Okay, Mrs.
I was reading, because it was part of the devotional today, I was reading Psalm 25, and you know, this particular part of it in the beginning has a lot to do with what we've been talking about. And starting in verse 1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee have I trusted. Let me not be put to shame. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, none that wait for thee shall be put to shame. They shall be put to shame that deal treacherously without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Keep me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day." And there was another place where it was saying about waiting, you know, waiting. When you wait for the Lord, in other words, you know, it goes along with hearing his voice, what we're talking about in the the 23rd Psalm shepherd book there. You know, that's denying yourself, you know, and everything, waiting to hear his voice. You're waiting on him to tell you what to do or what to say. You're waiting on him, you know, him teaching you. Aren't you hearing his voice when you ask him to teach you his way, when you ask him to teach you his ways and teach us his paths and teach us his truth? For thee do I wait all the day. That's total dependence. And then verse 21 is, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee. If we wait for him, we have integrity and uprightness.
Yep. I was trying to remember what I had this morning. Anybody get a word today? Yeah, I got this morning, I got Micah chapter 6, 1-5. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear, O ye mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. Remember from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. That's what I got this morning. Yeah, Marilyn.
I got Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. I'll read 2 and 3. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. I like that. I was happy to get that.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Last night we were praying, somebody was praying, and during the prayer time, the Lord gave me a vision of all of us getting in a circle and then praying for the anointing of the Holy, of the man-child ministry. And so that's what we did. We did. And then I saw in that vision also briefly, very briefly, of us praising God for it and thanking God for it. And that's what we did. Bless God. And I believe it. I believe that anointing is right here on us.
I do too.
I like that verse too. Those verses. That's awesome. I'll tell David that, Myrna. You'll get excited again. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody else get a word? What was your word, Missy? It was
it's Habakkuk 3:8-9.
Habakkuk 3.
Habakkuk 3. Oh, where'd you go? Okay, there it is. Was the Lord displeased with the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers, or thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon by horses, upon by chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite bare. Thy oaths to the tribes were a sure word. Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers.
What did you get out of that? I don't remember what you said this morning.
I didn't. I just sent it in. I didn't have any comments to it.
Okay. All right. That's okay. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody want to pray something? Pray about something? I do. I'm going to pray about something. When I pray about something, I'm going to pray about something. Well, Lord, I lift up everybody that's been listening to us tonight, that you're working a work in all of us, Lord, that you're there with us, Lord. All we have to do is just believe it. Believe that you're right there with us, Lord, and you're talking to us the whole time. And all we have to do is just listen. And Father, I praise you for doing that for all of us. I thank you, Lord, that every time that we talk to you, Lord, that we hear you return, that we just sit down a lot at the beginning and just wait and tell you, so here am I, Lord. Talk to me. And Lord, I just thank you for doing that for all of us, to show us. Just like you have other people. You're no respecter of persons. And since you're not a respecter of persons, you'll do it for everyone that asks. And I ask, Lord, that the next time any of us get in our prayer closet and quietly wait upon you, Lord, that you would speak to them in a way that they could understand what you're saying, and give them instructions, and give them that, open their ears of understanding to understand what you're telling them, Lord, and put that obedience in us to do exactly as you'd have us to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that for everybody here. I ask, Lord, that you place it, that assertiveness in us to want to obey your word and your commands. And Lord, I thank you for your promises up there, that when we pray, the promises, that we trust you to fulfill those promises when we pray for them, and I thank you for them. And we know that there's a lot of ifs in those promises. Let us be ever vigilant to perform those ifs, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody here with a good night's sleep tonight, that we'd all wake up in the morning supercharged by a supernatural God, ready to go to work and ready to be used of you throughout the day, Lord. And that we'd be ever mindful that you are living inside of us, that we are Jesus walking in your footsteps, Lord. That we're not living anymore, that it's you living in us, Lord. That we turn the cheek every time somebody comes against us, and we just grin at them and pray for them. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for every one of us, to help us to lose self and to allow you to come forward in our lives, Lord. We all need it. We all have to have it. And Lord, I'm praying that everybody listening to my voice right now and later on, that you would bring them to fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold, every one of them, because they're doing exactly what they need to do to come to you, Lord. In this test that you showed Malcolm, I'm thanking you, Father, for allowing everybody that's listening to us tonight that they would pass the test. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord. We thank you for this great anointing for the man-child ministry here shortly, Lord. We're believing for it, and we're thanking you for it because we know it's already done. Because when we pray, we believe what we pray is going to happen. And Father, we thank you also for the blessings that are coming to the bride in a mighty way. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, protect us, guide us, lead us from this point on, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good night, y'all.
Hey, is my mic working now?
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
Close out. Are we still doing communion on Thursday?
Oh, gosh, I forgot all about it. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we can do that. Communion. Communion next, day after tomorrow. Does everybody want to do that? Is that okay with everybody?
Amen. Amen.
All right. If you need to borrow some wine, now holler at me.
You don't have any left. What are you talking about?
I know. I'm going to have to make a run. Okay, communion.
I might have left the thing in
the
carrots downstairs. No.
Hey, does Debbie have any bread left?
Yeah, but she probably had get rid of it that day.
She did.
What's it? Okay. Oh, let me stop.
You have